welcome to a very special edition of the God is a Geek podcast. But it's not the God is a Geek podcast. This is a spoiler podcast. A spoiler cast, if you will. My name's Adam Cook, and I am joined by Adam Carroll.
Howdy.
How are you doing, mate? All right?
I'm very excited.
For those watching in chronological order, they will notice that you've had a haircut, which I am so pleased to see.
Yeah. Ah, man, it's a new place as well. New shoes.
Shoes, everything is brilliant. If you're just listening to this, it won't mean a thing. Chris White, you had a haircut a while ago. Still all right? Still got the thing at the back of it? Yep.
Sure have, yep. Sure have.
Okie dokie. And Christopher Hyde, you just always look dapper, mate, no question.
The beard's getting a bit straggly, but yeah. Hello, everyone.
So just, we're going to say this once, and we're not going to apologise for it all the way through the episode. This is a spoiler cast. If you have not finished The Last of Us Part 2, or probably Part 1 for that matter, you probably want to stop listening. If you don't care about spoilers and you just want to listen anyway, that's on your head. We are going to be talking proper spoilers. We are going to be talking about people who die, who don't die, what we think of it. It is full on a spoiler cast. I'm not going to mention that the rest of the episode. It doesn't need to be said. It's in the title. I've just told you. The chaps, none of one's disagreed. They've all finished it. That's why we're here. We are here to talk about the biggest video game of 2020, probably. A game that will 100% be in contention for our Game of the Year award, probably. We are here to talk about The Last of Us Part 2 in great detail. And I'm going to just start off basically as the game starts. And I'm going to say that this game is a lot different to the first one, in not necessarily in tone, because it was a dark first game as well, but this game does start out with a recap of the first game's ending. It's Joel talking to Tommy, and I think a new character. I don't remember him from the first one. He certainly was a peripheral character if he was in the first one. But Joel telling Tommy the big secret. The big secret that Ellie has an immunity to the Cordyceps thing. And he stopped, basically, her from being able to save the world. And I think the reason I want to mention this is because I thought from the... This is a game I recommend headphones for. And from the very start of the game, when you just get that low E string plucked, maybe in drop D or C, I'm not sure, straight away the tone is set. Just a big drone, boom. And Adam Carroll, I bet you're the same.
Yeah, I think straight off the bat, the opening of this game was immediately special. I think, like, Tommy and Joel, their conversation straight away is just like, I think any person that's tuned in for the last is just eyes on the screen, ready. You're instantly feeling all sorts of things. And it is all about, like, I think straight off, it's when Tommy and Joel, they ride off down to the, oh, Jesus Christ, straight away, where's the place?
Jackson.
And Tommy turns to Joel and goes, I would have done the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that level of, like, understanding that it puts in a lot of the players' heads of, like, whether you do agree or not with what Joel has done in the previous game. And, like, because, like, at the end of the day, people have just had this thing of, like, he's the evil one. And I'm going to get this straight out of the way that, like, I don't think there's, like, I think there's evil in this game. Is just, it doesn't exist in my head for some reason. I don't know.
No, but I would say straight away, though, Ads, like, is there's also no good, is there? Like,
No, of course not.
People, I mean, listen, we said spoilers, so let's get straight into this shit right now. Joel dies in the first couple of hours. One of the big spoilers that leaked, and people are like, oh, the game's ruined. It's like, you don't know nothing. I remember playing it for review, and Chris White the same. When that happens, as early on as it happens, you're like, oh, wow, if this happens now. But the reason I mention sort of jumping ahead to Joel dying is I think he had it coming. Like, I hate to be the guy that says this straight away, but he was not, like, no, there's no evil. People are doing what they have to do. Mm. The dude crossed everyone. He was a smuggler, let's not forget. He, of people and other stuff. He was eventually going to run out of time with his luck. He crossed enough people. Mm. And It is a shock because games don't kill their main characters.
I think, look, let's just say that this is the most controversial part of the game, I think, for everyone.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's the one that causes the most anger, I think. Like,
that's fair.
And I think it just laid out, it laid the foundation for all the criticisms that came then for other people. Like, but I think the Joel situation, it shocked me. I'm going to say straight out that what nobody is kind of saying from, don't quote me on that, but from other spoiler casts and other bits and pieces that I've read about the game, no one's talking about, they're talking about Joel's death, but they're not talking about how it was done in performance ways and just the general atmosphere and where it's situated in that house and stuff. And you got to remember, the whole build towards it with Abby and Owen, these characters that we just never knew, we just don't know who they are.
And have played as. You've already controlled Abby.
Exactly. So you're just like,
who is
this?
No idea why or who is she. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get this, we're kind of backtracking ever so slightly, but you get that moment with Abby where you're running from all the infected, and it's the most what's happening? What's going on? You feel like you're doing it wrong, or you don't know what you're doing really. And I think this is where Naughty Dog shine in their development and stuff. But it's when I played it the second time and seeing Abby's facial expression when Tommy and Joel find her and they say the names and stuff. And I think first time I playing it, I remember going, why is she so baffled looking? But at the same time, maybe it's because she's just terrified of what she just ran away from and stuff. And then when it goes into that moment of Tommy and Joel, and they meet all the gang and stuff in the house, and this tension of Tommy goes, I'm Tommy, it's my brother Joel, and it's just you're like, oh, something's not good here straight away.
So one of the criticisms I've seen of that part is that Joel is a little, for someone who is so kind of grizzled and used to the shit of this world, is a little too quick to be like, yeah, that's nice to meet you, blah, 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 it's just, who are you? And is kind of at fault for his own demise. But I do also appreciate the other angle of that, which is they had this in mind, they wanted to do this with Joel, and this is the way they wrote it to happen. You could argue that it's what, talk about luck, that Abby gets found by, and I think people are moaning as well because they saved their life. She'd be dead.
You forget that, well, not you forget, but people forget that in the first game, we were introduced to Joel, and yes, he was a smuggler and he was a bad person. On the outside, his actual, the things he did were wrong, but he met Ellie, and also you come in at it, he's lost his daughter, he's a bitter old man, he's just distraught, he's had to deal with this grief for years in this kind of environment. But then he meets Ellie and she changes him. She makes him into a better person. He starts to open up. He starts to trust again. He starts to feel love again. And when he's at this point in The Last of Us 2, he's a completely different person to the first game. And the fact he's so kind of welcoming is a testament to what Ellie's impact has been on him. He's full of a lot more love than he ever was. And
we do see some of that. We've skipped over a bit. The game opens quite slowly. There's a lot of back and forth. You play as Joel, then you're Ellie, then you're Abby, and you are jumping around a bit, and they are very quickly trying to introduce the current state of affairs. The fact that Joel and Ellie are kind of not in a good place, and yet he's still trying to be a good person, and they jump around timelines a bit, and there's a lot to take in.
Can I just quickly say that when, just going back to what you said about Joel, when he's in there and he's a bit people criticizing that moment of him, not the way he's reacting or something, whatever way people are picking up on it, right? We gotta remember here is that everything that they've been through already, and then they're in Jackson, they have this their only real kind of new life, new hope, all this kind of stuff. And they are doing these checkpoints where they go off and they just clear out any infected that's around the place. So they have this routine. And I feel, if you put yourself in their shoes, if I was Joel and I arrive and I'm like, all right, all these new people straight away, especially after just doing what, after getting off of, getting away from what just happened with all the infected chasing us, and you're put immediately in the room around these people just walking in, yes, are you not supposed to kind of maybe go, all right, maybe these are just people on the same page that we were once in, trying to help us. Should I trust them? Should I help them? Because Tommy's doing that immediately. Tommy's telling them straight off, oh, you should come back to our place and stock up before you move on and stuff. Like, there's a bit of humanity within them.
I also feel there's also a massive atmosphere of, like, no one's trusting anyone. I mean, we're jumping ahead ever so slightly of... Because, you know, I've written down on our little document here, like, Abby's intro. But you're also introduced to the first character I didn't like. And right from the get-go, Owen. Never liked that character. And I'm going to say right now, to the end of the game, Owen was the least likable character in the game for me. I forget if they actually spell it out, but it's pretty clear right away that he and Abby are a thing, but they're not supposed to be a thing. And I don't think they explicitly say it, but like right away, I don't like Owen.
Can we, before we jump on to Owen, I just want to get Chris Hyde, you are... out of all of us, the one who has finished it recently, right?
Yep.
So it's really fresh in your head. Like at this point of where we're at, how are you feeling? Like, where were you? Where was your head at that point?
So, when Joel died, so I was actually shocked. But I think I agree with everything you just said. Like, for me, Joel's reaction and Tommy's reaction was how it would be if you've just been saved from a moment like that. I don't buy this. Well, you just be standoffish with everyone you ever meet. That's how you get shotgun in the face. That's, you know, you've just been saved, so you would be like that. I think it's interesting what you said, Chris, about the journey you've been on with, obviously, with Joel and see him grow in the first game. Because for me, that's why it is shocking, because you don't know any of the backstory about all the characters that, you know, that are doing this to Joel and obviously by extension to Ellie. And it's interesting because that for me that's the setup of what this game is about. It's about character perspective that the audience has versus what the audience doesn't have. And we've spent an entire game building up an understanding of why Joel and Ellie are who they are, how they've grown as individuals, how the world around them has shaped the decisions that they make. And by the end of the first game, despite the fact that we can all step back and go, well, he's just killed humanity. That's a bit of an asshole dick move. But we were all with him at that point when he does that at the end of the first game. So when you then get to the second game...
Yeah, but also, I don't think anyone is also thinking that but it's the correct decision. It's the decision you'd make.
Yes.
But I think you make it knowing it's not the right decision.
And it's interesting because I've been thinking a lot about this. I think there'd be a different reaction to this whole drama of Joel dying. For me, if Joel dies at the end of the first game, if as a Coleman, it would mean you'd lose that, I guess, that special moment right at the end of the first game. But if say there's a, you know, the comeuppance for his decision with Ellie, you know, with Ellie happens in the first game, and then the second game is picking up the revenge story of that, I think there's less of a disconnect to the normal, I guess, how people envisage games. Which, here's my heroes. I am those heroes, and I'm gonna be a part of those heroes, because obviously you're right. This story was never gonna end well for Joel unless the whole of America just goes, it don't matter. That was our one chance, but it doesn't matter. We'll just forgive him. He got away out of the hospital, so we'll just let him go. That was never going to happen. And I think
there's always gonna be someone.
Yeah,
looking for him.
Always gonna be someone looking for him and or looking for Ellie, which is a different point. But that's, for me, it's people treating it as heroes in games that are almost untouchable. Mm-hmm. Which is a trope for another time, but I think that's why it feels odd for those two reasons. One, that you haven't yet seen the perspective of Abby and what's led up to that, and why she feels so passionate about, you know, being the one and doing it herself and killing Joel. But also, you're kind of attached to a character, and you're used to being able to remain attached to characters. So that's why I think it's so shocking. But
the game, like, the game doing what it did at such an early stage, I think it is just so ballsy. And I think, like,
it's done well, by the way. You mentioned that, Adam.
It's done so goddamn well.
It's done, like, you know, the way they cut to Ellie and like the
whole build of Ellie,
the kind of blown out sound.
The build up with Ellie when she's going down the stairs and you can hear Joel.
And you know, I think, don't you?
What's that?
I had that bit spoiled for me. I feel like, you know, something's going bad.
Yeah. You do. And you start hearing that noise as you get closer, and then you start going down the stairs. And but that's such a... The sound as well as
the visuals, when not just when she's actually, you know, going out, but the build up to it as well, and feeling so kind of powerless to it. It's just so well done.
But there's two humongous feelings that happen that I've never experienced in the game at that moment. And I know, like, we're talking about this moment quite long already, but that's just what this moment, that's how big it is. Mm. But it's not only the fact that Joel is gone.
Yep.
It's also the fact that you've just played as the character that has done this.
This kid.
So yeah, I think in my head, I'm just like, who is, what is that? No, I will say straight off at that, it's very easy to make out who she is, who Abby is. I feel anyway, if you're going to put the story in, if you're to write a word you think it might be, I definitely went in going, the ending is going to be the cause of, what this mean is, the ending of the first game. And I think, Abby, I guessed it really in my head, but I just couldn't believe that I was already after playing as Abby. And then she did this to Joel, who I loved. But, let's just move on, I guess, because there's...
I just want to... Sorry, just to keep going on about this point, but the thing that Naughty Dog has done so incredibly well about this game is, narratively, we don't need to see Joel and Ellie Part 2. You know, the trailers have shown that the majority of the game is Ellie. The fact that Joel dies has always been speculative from the first trailer. And the fact
that's true, actually. That's a really good point. People were speculating he was a ghost at one point, remember?
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that people are shocked is the internet. But the fact that they've managed to introduce Abby as a character loathed by pretty much everyone that's currently watching this scene unfold, because they're watching Joel die this in devastating fashion, and they're looking at the person doing it, how they managed to make you feel for this other character in the space of the 20 or so hour game you're playing it. And the fact that their roles reverse in a way, because by the end of the game I felt very differently about Ellie, and very differently about Abby, and they completely reverse on the spectrum of how Ellie almost is like a villain.
You've got to think of it in the context of the larger story, in that Ellie is innocent. She doesn't know. She does know eventually, doesn't she? There is a scene where she finds out what happened actually. But when it happened, she's a complete innocent part. She doesn't know really any of that's happened. She wakes up and they're not in hospital anymore. But she becomes the villain because she can't let it go. And so Joel's died at this point, and obviously then her and Dina set off for Seattle. And it's where they introduced the thing they did in Lost Legacy, where it has an open world, semi-open world section for exploration on the back of a horse, which I felt like the pace, it's the only time the pace lets up like that, and I really enjoyed the fact that there was a section of the game where I was able to just explore. I found the shotgun in the basement of the bank, and also there's a reference to Uncharted in there. I don't know if you guys found that.
Yeah.
There's the ring. Oh, yeah. Is in the bank vault as well, which I don't know whether that's a thing.
There's another Uncharted reference with the egg in the above the Chinese antique store when you go to Chinatown. Yeah.
And there's also the PlayStation 3 that you find with
Uncharted 2. I don't know if they're just fun references.
Completely changing the tone, but I need to mention this. The spoiler of Crash Bandicoot in the bit where they're about to have sex in the weed place, and they find a VHS porn tape called, is it Smash Brandy's Cooch?
Yeah, that's it.
I did not even pick up on that.
It's fucking really?
Genuinely didn't pick up on that at all.
I thought it was so funny.
That's great. That is great. Yeah. I didn't even pick up on that. Well done. That's fucking great. So you find the guitar, which has been a bit of a feature from the start of the game, really. You know, Joel, the cover of Pearl Jam, isn't it?
Future Days.
Which is, I don't consider myself a gigantic Pearl Jam fan.
No, same, not at all.
But that song was just so perfect for it, and I'd be very interested to see what their royalties are like from that.
I bet knowing what they're like, I would imagine quite good.
Well, because obviously they're in Seattle, and Pearl Jam are from Seattle, and there's the Pearl Jam poster in the music store in that scene as well.
True. But yeah, the first time you get to play guitar when you find it, I think that's an optional bit. Actually, I don't think you have to do that. It's basically the garage band MIDI acoustic guitar on the PlayStation joystick. Like it's fine. I as someone big into my music and I play guitars, you might even be able to just see one behind me a little bit. It's fine. Like I'd started playing around with it, thinking, can I play stuff? And I was like, yeah.
It's more or less the idea is sound, but the touchpad is not the one.
It's not the one.
And like, I do love like that they added
it's amazing.
So many sets
her
of chords
are
moving. Yeah.
Yeah. In
so
the
all
correct,
that is. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great, but I think that's just down to the actual technology itself.
It's a cool thing. Really, like,
yeah.
I think she plays like a C barred up here like this, and I find that a bit odd that it's not like an open C, but it's amazing. Like, that's really unfair granular complaint. But then, you know, this is a C, you know, they're showing off the physics of the ropes and stuff, and it's all like, it's a bit of a graphical showcase, this Seattle Day One, isn't it, really?
Which, by the way, come on, let's just say it, this game looks ridiculous.
It does.
Like, it is just... My eyes were just
unbelievable. I will say that it has a section that's probably the biggest, I want to say jump scare, but that's the wrong way of putting it, but the biggest jump I've ever had in a game was when the bomb goes off and knocks you off the horse. I actually shit my pants. Yeah. Like, I had the volume up nice and loud because it does make the fans go on the PS4 Pro this game. And that explosion literally, like, wasn't expecting it. Well, because you had this moment of calm. You had that moment of calm for quite a while, and then whoa, it's all kicking off, you know?
And I think even the tense moments were like enclosed, weren't they? So like the bank and things, you knew, right, okay, now head down, I know I'm going in something, whereas everything outside up to that point is like, you're kind of like a bit relaxed. I can just kind of take it all in and explore it. They're just, I think they're mid-conversation, aren't they? It's like,
and to end up captured again so soon, really, in terms of time after you've been captured when Joel dies, is an instant throwback. And like, you know, at this point you've got to also bear in mind that unless you've read online, and like Chris and I definitely hadn't because it wasn't out, I had no idea this was going to be a 25-hour game, none whatsoever. So you know, but Seattle Day One in that respect, slightly eventful, but not compared to what's to come.
I think it's a really good decision to do that exact moment of game, because you really, if you haven't had the Joel situation spoiled for you, which I didn't, I was really like,
you need that calm.
I need this calm and stuff and just cool. But
going to his house as well, I know we're going back, but going to his house and picking up that picture of him and his Sarah, that broke me, like the picture from the original game, like still with his daughter.
It's also like the house section in general, there's like, it just goes to show you the detail as well. Like, when I actually sent you this ad, but it's because I was like, wow, everything is so amazing. But like, Ellie, when she's walking up the steps to the house, like, I just panned the camera around, just doing it, whatever. And I looked at her face. There was just no cutscene. It was just her face.
Oh, yeah.
And the animations were like showing her like completely like just so upset. It was insane that it was just put in this. And I loved love is not the right word, I guess, but you know, it's when she puts her hand up to open the door and she starts shaking, and you're just like, I'm right there with you. Oh my God.
So they find the theatre, they bivouac down, you know. I quite like that scene as well, like turning the power back on. Again, it felt like a little, just different, you know, just calm down for a bit. Day two, when you got to go to the hospital because you're tracking down, can't remember who the character is.
Nora.
And you know, again, it's gameplay heavy, you know, it's A to B until you meet Nora. And unless I'm missing anything in between, you meet Nora and, you know, you remember me? Yeah, you remember me. You know, that scene, which was literally, that was where you were allowed to cut off showing for the preview footage. It was like, that was bang on. They showed that. And then after that, of course, there's like a big chase sequence and you chase Nora down and you end up down in underground. Well, saying that, day one, we've skipped ahead of the bus scene, the train scene under the ground.
Oh, yes.
Where you first realise how well you can pit the, you know, clickers and that against humans. But back to the hospital, and you go down and Nora's like almost saying like, well, we're both dead anyway, because like, you, neither of us have got masks on, of course. That doesn't matter for Ellie, does it? and she picks up that pipe, and then the button prompt appears on your screen. Press square. Is it square? Square. I think. And you press square, and then it tells you to press square again, and you press square again, and then it tells you to press square again, and then you get a big old black screen after that third pipe to the face. And that was one of the moments when we were talking about it on the regular podcast where I wanted to sort of say what I couldn't say, I wouldn't spoil. I wanted to do it. It was amazing and impressive and almost terrifying, the rage she wanted to smash her face in. And at this point, I wanted to smash her face in. And that's one of those scenes that it cuts to black, and as I said on the pod, you're just staring at your reflection. And I think that's deliberate. I think they think most people are probably playing in a dark room or, you know, with headphones on, and they're going to go and cut to black, and then there you are, a killer looking at yourself. Is it just me? Like that was one of the first scenes where I was like, "Fuck!" You know, she smashes her face. That was one of the first scenes.
I knew it was coming based on what you'd said. I didn't know obviously the setup or anything.
Apologies.
No. It's absolutely fine, because I think I spoke to you. What I did is I didn't press square.
Right.
And then pause in between. I didn't do it for like half an hour just to see, but what you maybe didn't notice, like the sound and the visual cues when you're going, the sound just crescendos with each square press. I don't know, you probably picked that up a bit. It's literally ringing in your ears, and it just, every single time you do it, it just gets louder. And Ellie's face is just almost like contorted, just pure anger, like pure hatred, and you just see it on her face, and it's just, nothing happens, FYI. There's not like a dance routine or anything if you don't press square, but you just, that look of pure hatred and contempt is just piercing on her face. And then, like you say, third time, bang, fade to black, and you're like, I'm a terrible human being, because I wanted to press square. I wanted to see what would happen, and also kind of appreciate more the sound that was going on. But
I'm with you, Adam, as well on it. Is it, the thing about it, like, there's a lot of people saying about this game, I didn't want to do this, it makes you want to do that, and I don't want to do it. And I think in my head, I'm playing that game going like, look, everyone, and this is what they end up doing even with Abby, like, as it went on, everything that Ellie was, the reason for all of it, the reason that everything she was going for, it was kind of like, yeah, I'd do it. Like, it goes back to exactly the opening when Tommy says to Joel, I would do the same thing. I would fucking do the same thing. I would do everything that's like the main character's objective of revenge. It's like, yeah, if I was in that world, like, yep, I'd be out for it, because like, you're basically taking away their only thing that they have in their life. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I don't know who you are, and you could turn your back on me in a second. So good luck, Square. Like, there's all these kind of moments like that, it's, you know?
The PS Vita moment on the way up there, which I still to this day was really surprised that they spoiled that. Really surprised, because when I played that again, pre-releases, before they've done this, before they showed it, I kind of thought, this is going to be one of those moments I'm not going to talk about. This is the Crash Bandicoot moment. I wouldn't, you know, they got Devolver Digital's, you know, Hotline Miami in there, and on Vita, and like the soundtrack's there and everything, and I wouldn't have ruined that.
I think, though, yes, it is the Crash Bandicoot moment, I guess, but I think why they showed it was kind of like, it's not going to matter.
If they don't see this,
they're not going to talk about this moment with everything else that goes on in that game. Do you know what I mean? So
there's tons of Easter eggs as well, like, on top of that. So like, and you get to see Hotline Miami again later on. So
yeah,
do you?
In the camp when you go with Abby. I can't remember her name, but there's a girl, the same girl's playing it, obviously, but in Abby's story. She's talking to her there about it. But Nora, when you get in the hospital and you're going through the vents, she listens to fucking Ice Cube. It's amazing. So props to Nora for that. I'm glad I ended up liking her as well.
Is it after that scene, I want to say, you get the museum section with Abby, with Joel and Ellie. I want to. They jump around with time a lot.
I'm pretty certain it is. Mm. I'm pre-
Did everyone like that section?
The museum section?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I did like it, but it was one of the sections I felt were a little bit drawn out. Like, I didn't need the... And I suppose I didn't have to, but I didn't need to go and press triangle on every fucking
thing.
I didn't quite need that.
I really liked it. And I think... And I appreciate the drawn out bit because the movement's slow and it's slow.
But again, it feels like they're deliberately, like, you've just seen something and you're like, oh, what next? What next? And they're like, no. And they do that a lot. And they do that massively. And we'll get to it after Seattle Day 3, where they're like, you desperately want to know what's happening? Up yours. You get to... wait another 10 hours. But for me,
we'll talk about moment of the year and stuff like that at another point, I think. But I like this whole section. There's so many little mini moments within the whole museum bit. I think for me, for people that have played it that are still moaning that, you know, Joel and Ellie's chemistry is the thing that made the first one and you've just killed it because you killed Joel in the first 2 hours. And they're not referencing the fact that they got their moment together here. And other moments, not that aren't as happy, but still killer moments, you know, one of the, right at the end and stuff, we'll talk about later, I'm sure. But for me, this is the reminder of Joel's importance to Ellie and the relationship that grew after we left the characters behind from the first film.
Yeah.
When the cares and the worries had kind of gone, which is an interesting dynamic, but let's just assume they kind of chilled out a little bit, less stressful, less zombies. And they're just able to enjoy, I guess, the wonder of almost being, it was almost a family moment, right? And some of the, I guess, the childhood memories that Ellie didn't have an opportunity to have. And I think that is, and the way some of it's done, you know, the space scene, but even some of the dinosaur stuff. I don't know, did you guys climb up the T-Rex and jump off?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's...
I can't remember.
That's just pure unbridled joy when she screams and roars and jumps in the water. That scene, and maybe I need it as a palate cleanser after what happened, but it made me so happy. Just and because I think it's so believable that the joy and the happiness. And there is a interesting opposite to that right at the end, which is an interesting play. But the joy and happiness throughout is so well done. You genuinely feel what they're feeling, and I think sometimes, especially in a game like this, happiness is a really hard emotion, and joy and almost just being comfortable in the situation and enjoying the company of the people around you and how they're making you feel through their actions, I think is really sweet. Yeah. You know, you see a much softer side to Joel than you've probably seen before. And
yeah,
I think
it's just that father-daughter thing. Like that's shining through. There is, I think I just want to say, like, it's the space scene for me, right? Because coming off of the, like I played the first one again and Left Behind DLC probably 3 or 4 days. I finished it all together before 2. So it was really fresh in my head. And, like, the space scene for me was just like, oh, this is amazing. And I probably wouldn't have clicked onto this straight away. But in Left Behind, like, Ellie goes on about the space thing. She's like, oh, I'm going to go to space when I'm older and stuff like that. And what's Riley? Riley is her friend in it, you know. She's like, oh, you and that space thing again and stuff, you know. And it's like, then when 2 came around and I get that, I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is so amazing. Like, the tape and everything. And just, like, it's Joel's just turn to her and he just goes, happy birthday, kiddo. And you're just like, bah! It's just, like, so nice.
It is, but it's not nice for long, because again, and there's a little bit of, I think, I'm not sure if it's foreshadowing or not, but, like, with the Fireflies bit in there, where they, you know, again, they've already started to sort of say, well, the Fireflies are all that good, and then there's, like, a bit of reinforcement, but they're not sure, you know. But then we're back to, you know, Ellie. She now thinks she knows where Abby is. She knows who Abby is. She knows where she is. She wants to. She's systematically kind of done in all of her friends so far, but there's a journey to the aquarium, and that's also where we first meet the Seraphites, I believe, along the way there, with that, the arrow to the shoulder, which is, like, again, one of those fucking,
unbelievable.
Like, you know, you think after what, 10 hours, you probably got all the mechanics down, and then they throw in another mechanic there where you got to, you know, I mean, not that it happens too often. I didn't find it happened too often.
But the sound design of this particular moment.
Well, I would say of the game. I actually would say this is probably one of the best audio designs in any game I've ever played.
It made me jump so much. Like, I was just like, oh my God. And everything that happens there, like...
Yeah.
It's a really interesting time to do it, because you're about 10, 12 hours in maybe at this point, depending on how good you are.
9 and 12, I'd say, yeah.
Probably me at 12, because I'm a bit rubbish. But I guess at that point, you're quite comfortable, aren't you? You've probably
got it down a bit. You've got quite a good lot of tools. You know, you've got your rhythm, haven't you?
At this point, I'm a badass stealth motherfucker at this point. Yeah. I am knifing everyone to shit. And I don't know about you, but at that point, when that arrow goes through and they're all whistling and they're all talking in code, mm-hmm. I was scared. I was like, right, I am going to have to up my game now, because they can see me and I can't mm-hmm. see them. I'm carrying torches, but they could see me and I couldn't see them, and they can communicate and I don't understand what they're saying. And I now need to be up in my game. And for a little while, I'd been like, I know how to defeat you. I know how to defeat you. I know how to defeat you. And I was in control.
The bloaters that they've thrown in.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention the new enemy. Again, which I was surprised they showed before release, because there's not a huge amount of new enemies. So, whatever it is, what it is. So you're on your way to the aquarium, and I think you know there you know not to jump through that section, but we don't want to be here for 7 hours.
Yeah.
You get to the aquarium and you come across Owen and anyone
Mel,
who it's already very clear she's pregnant. Ellie doesn't know that, and on reflection, being harsh, I'll be the guy to say it. As Mel, you're pregnant. You've got someone who doesn't really want to kill you, doesn't want to kill Owen. She wants Abby. It's pretty clear. Everyone knows who she is, why she's here, why she's come to Seattle, what she wants. She wants Abby. You're pregnant. It's that same thing of with the Joel thing, is that maybe the writing of the characters was shaped to make the story work rather than is what Mel does kind of suicide? Because Ellie, I don't think, is planning on killing Owen and Mel. She wants to know where Abby is. She only wants Abby. She kills Nora because Nora gives her no option. Is what Mel does... Do you see what I'm getting at? This moment is probably one of the most incredible moments, when the camera pans out and Ellie realizes what she has done. Mm. She's killed someone, and she's killed lots of people, hundreds, thousands on the way to this journey. But she's never killed a baby before. And now she has, and she's clearly killed mum, dad, and baby in one kind of fell swoop. But she doesn't know that, and she's sick, and Tommy shows up, and it's saves the day. And I feel like they use that to try and frame her as, no, Ellie's the bad guy. Ellie's the monster here. And I don't think it rings true, because... I think Ellie becomes the bad guy. That isn't the moment. For me, she doesn't know.
Exactly.
And I don't think she would... And a moment later on, their kind of opposite choice could happen and doesn't.
Yeah. Ellie is known to people as, oh, there, that's where she is, really a monster and stuff. And as you said, she doesn't know all that jazz, right? Like... When she realizes what just happened, she starts going, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. She panics.
But what I'm saying is what Mel does.
I think the thing about the Mel thing for me is, at the time, it felt almost normal, because I didn't know the perspective I was then going to see in terms of... I didn't clock she was pregnant. Maybe I'm just...
No, but Mel knows she's pregnant.
No, I know. So what I'm saying is, I agree with you, but only on reflection of playing the rest of the game.
The reflection I have now is that is still one of those moments where it's like, that's the moment when I talked about it after reviewing it, that like, this game goes places games have never been.
I've never seen anything like that before.
No, that's a line you cross, and that now means other people can cross that line. But the actual moment, for me, I'm not sure is brilliant, because I just feel like, and maybe people are listening and going, oh no, I wouldn't do that, but me, as someone who has children, I've never carried a child, I know I look like I'm carrying children, but I'm not, but the thing is to me, carrying a child is all about like preservation. It's like you are protecting the thing, you are the only one that can protect the thing. inside of you, you know, whether you know if it's a boy or a girl or you know anything, you don't, you are the protector, the cat, you are carrying a child, you know, that's why they say you're carrying a child. She lives if she doesn't do what she does.
That, to be honest, Mel confuses me generally. For me, she does that numerous times when
you're playing
a Vabity. Like, you're heavily pregnant. Yeah, I'll just go out and patrol and there's
Seraphites
and infect. I want to. And it's like, it doesn't get explored, but I wonder if there's a feeling of, you know, pride and I can
I think she knows what Owen. It's very clear later on. She knows that Mel, that Owen and Abby were a thing, probably still are a thing, probably want to be a thing, and that she's trapping Owen by being pregnant. Not through her choice, obviously, but that's probably. But I do feel of all of the characters in the entire game, Mel and Owen are the two, to me, that are the weakest, because not so much that they're not explored, as that I just. Like I say, it's almost. It's not much self-preservation, let alone preservation of the life inside of you. And I found that, again, reflecting later. At the time, you're like, oh my God, that is next level, games don't do this. But reflecting on it now, like, it's still an amazing moment.
Mm-hmm.
And again, fade to black. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at yourself. Yeah. Look at what you sort of kind of just did or witnessed. Or
yeah, it's another gut puncher. That's just simply it. Like, it's exactly
the image of the pool of water, because you're in an aquarium, filling, discoloring to crimson.
Yeah, it's what I signed up for when I was going in for this game. It's those moments.
Did you even think, genuinely, you think it was? I mean, what you said before, yeah, but I know you thought it was going to go dark. I will say I enjoyed so much. There was one point when I'd finished it and you were, obviously it wasn't out yet, and you were saying something like, oh, I really think Joel's going to do this, that and the other, and I'm going, Joel ain't doing shit, mate. Yeah, Joel's fucking gone in 2 hours. He's gone.
I can't stress enough how much, like, how happy I was to not have anything spoiled for me in this game.
Did well.
It would forever just kill me, like, honestly. But anyway, so that's a serious moment. Mel, just own, poo. Crazy.
So... we go back to the theatre. We go back to the theatre, and Abby appears. And let me get this right. She, in Game of Thrones style, she kills. I've forgotten his name.
Jesse.
Kills Jesse like that, like he's nothing. Shoots Tommy in the knee.
So good.
Yeah, just he's gone. You know, actually, one of the most likable characters in the game.
Mm.
Yeah. Genuinely likable. You know, Dina is pregnant clearly with his child, and she's now with Ellie, and he's just fine. He doesn't really mind. He's mm-hmm. moved
he's
on.
Always he's always been happy. The second father to her, though, hasn't he? Like, there's that scene in the game where they go with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And, like, she can't.
Not Tommy.
Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
Yeah, because, of course, Jesse's the father of Dina's child, isn't he? Remember, they were together before.
Right, okay. Yeah, sorry.
And Tommy is another very likable character, but Jesse, to me, is just like. Probably the nicest guy in the game, and just like, you're dead, you're just gone, mate. Sorry, not even like Tommy, where we're not sure, is he dead or alive? No, you're just dead, you're gone,
it happens,
mate. Shot
it
straight in the head.
So fast,
he just comes running out and bang, dead.
You know? Yeah, and you're just like, what?
Love it.
It was just such panic.
And again, it falls back to, as Ellie, you're coming from the back of the theater, and there's that, like when you're going down the stairs to Joel, there's that feeling of, what's going on? Yeah. Something's going on, and of course, then. At the pivotal moment when you're like, shit, Abby's going to kill me. I'm Ellie. No, you're not. You're not anymore. You're Abby as a child, I believe. Well, youngster child.
Yep.
With dad. And it all starts to, if it wasn't clear before, it's all, you know what's going on now. And you're Abby. And you then realise, oh, Abby day one. Oh, fuck. This game's massive. This game's probably a 30-hourer. And I've now got to play as the person who killed my beloved Joel, if you will, and might have just killed Abby. Ellie, I don't know. I want to know. And my initial hours with Abby were kind of a little frustrating, because, like, in my head, I'm thinking, am I going to have to play 10 hours before I know what's happened there? And yes is the answer. The answer's yes. How did you guys feel about when you became Abby?
Exactly the same. I was like, as you say, for the first few hours, I was just kind of thinking, oh, for God's sake. I think I even
How long is this going to be? You did, yeah. How long is this going to be?
I kind of was just a bit, because obviously she killed Joel, and like, I don't really care for this person at all. I don't know. She's not been in the first game. She's a completely new character. What's going on? And like, even after you find out that her dad was the guy who was going to operate on Ellie and save the world, and Joel kills him, and it all comes into place. It's made official. So there's no questions about why Abby killed Joel. Like, we know why.
No, it's black and white at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, but even still, it was hard to get used to her, because for a while I thought, well, maybe it won't last forever, but then you start picking up materials.
You start finding workbenches. I don't know if you bought, I started to wonder, is this going to be a very truncated day one, day two, day three?
Yeah.
Like maybe an hour here, an hour there, an hour there, and I'm back. And then, like you say, I think for me, the moment was when you pick up your first magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realise, oh, she's got all the same number of magazines.
There's loads of coins to collect. And,
yeah, and you start, like, and it's kind of clever. And you realise, I'm playing this game through again from her perspective.
And it becomes, it's so good in a way that you're now seeing every day from her perspective. And as it goes on, you understand more and more about her. You kind of warm to her a bit. You kind of gradually fall in love with her, I would say. Especially,
I think her combat's better, by the way. I'm just going to say that now.
It's incredible.
I think her combat is the better combat experience.
Yeah, it is. And like, obviously, we'll delve into the bits later on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she goes to the island and whatnot. But
that could be a game on its own.
It takes a while to truly kind of embrace her, but with certain things in the story, you fully understand why. And she completely just snaps. She's not the enemy anymore. Everybody in this game is an enemy. Killing every, like, you're doing what you do to survive. Yeah. You can't. The thing is, you go play with Joel and Ellie through a whole game, and there are times when they kill humans.
A lot of times.
Like, yeah. So, like, why aren't they the enemy anyway? Because from anyone else's perspective, they're killing other people, and like with Abby, she was doing exactly the same. She was avenging her father's killer. Like, that would be any story for a hero in any kind of other medium.
How do you feel about the early sort of character? When you're playing as Abby at the stadium.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Because I'll be honest with you, I felt some of that was a little forced. Because they know you're taking over and you're like, oh. And I felt like the deliberate pacing of, no, go and speak to him, go and speak to her, meet this guy, meet this person. Oh, look, stroke the dog. She's a lovely
very
person,
smart.
Abby is.
I think it's quite smart with like, yeah, because you're introduced to the guy who boots Abby in the face. Can't remember his name. And that he's the one that you kill at Eastwood Elementary School. You know, you stab him in the neck with a glass. The one of the guys you talk to in the restaurant area in the stadium, yeah?
I don't.
Yeah.
He's one of the first guys you talk to. And then you talk to the guy, Manny. And you know, so I think...
An underused character for me, Manny.
Absolutely. It's smart in the way you're introduced to a whole new group of people that you're being forced to get on with. You've got no option. If you want to know what happens, you're going to have to play through this game and you have to get to know them. And I think it starts off quite slowly, but gradually you start to understand the impact of the Seraphites on both Abby and the world as it is in Seattle. And I just think it's very well implemented right from the start of the story. Even though on first playthrough I didn't appreciate it.
Gotcha.
I completely get it again, I think.
I think, you know, I said to you, Adam, you're playing two games, and I think the decision to do it the way they've done it, which is like play the first half, cliffhanger, play the second half to then join back up. You need to have that setup in that second part with Abby, both I think the flashback does a great job. I'll come back to that in a second. And then the stadium, for me, you need that because you haven't got an entire game before this with Abby to flesh out what the backstory is, why you should care about it, what the motivations are of this team, what they've been building, why they're building it. And you need, if they just jumped you into the action, into the zombie warehouse, then it would, you'd have no connection and you'd be like, this is just pointless. What am I doing? Whereas actually I went into that first, you know, gamey part, if you like, the action part with the Seraphites and then the infected, feeling very much on board with what was going on. Just from my personal perspective, I played the original Last of Us like a few days before I jumped into the second one. That's why I started late. And I vividly remember what I did to who I now know is Abby's dad. I shotgunned that mother in the face from point blank range, and his just skull was a bloody stump on a body. And I remember that vividly because that, you know, I remember doing it because it wasn't so long ago. And obviously then you have all the flashbacks of that moment in the hospital from Ellie and Abby perspective throughout the story. And every time I was like, yeah, there's a bloody stump when I shotgunned him in the face. And then when you find out, okay, so that was her dad. And if we park the nonsense that only one person can save mankind, there's only one surgeon in the world that can, you know, we park that nonsense for a second, but at least embrace the fact that, yeah, I went in there and not only doomed humanity, but I shotgunned this girl's dad in the face.
I would say with the fact that there are limited surgeons in the world, I think they're that's the best option at the current time.
I'm sure there are bound to be other surgeons, but they're not known. They don't, you know, the Fireflies know this guy, he's the surgeon. We don't know another surgeon.
You can't just Google it.
Sure. No. I'm being a little bit flippant, but you
no, I get where you're coming from, but also it works logic wise.
Exactly. And so I've gone from, I actually now feel a bit guilty because I, you know, blew Abby's dad's head off only a week ago. And so I'm kind of almost invested. And then I go into the stadium part, and for me, I think there's some very clever decisions. There's questions that I've seen people ask since I finished, you know, all this noise around, well, how did Abby get buff in 3 years from that slight figure in the flashback to where she is now? Well, there's a chock-off gym in a stadium that she accesses every day, and they show you that without drawing attention to it. Oh, and if you were, and also these people aren't like horrendous people. There's a creche here with loads of kids and there's teachers.
They're not savages, are they?
They're not savages. And you've just come from a stabby pregnancy situation where you're like, people don't care about that kind of thing, or should we not care about that? These people do. And I think it was some really clever little nods to things there. And like the big reveal of like the stadiums of fully functioning kind of.
And the doggo.
You know, we've skipped over the fact that you have to kill a dog, and I know people made a massive thing out of it. I didn't really notice it when I had to obviously kill to get through.
I didn't at the time.
But as soon as I'm introduced to it a few hours later, I'm like, oh my God, I care about a dog now. It's interesting because you start hating what you did or regretting or second guessing what you did as Ellie as you go through as Abby. And I personally didn't hate it, I think, I guess, as much as you guys
did.
I got more invested quicker, I think. I think that's probably what
happened. That's definitely true. Like, so for Abby, you know, you leave this, you do all the stadium stuff, you leave the stadium, that you then get attacked then, and then, you know, you have to do her combat stuff pretty quickly again, and Mel's with you pregnant the whole time. She gets clipped in the back, I think, if I remember correctly, and
she risked her life climbing up the fucking boat.
Well, the boat's an interesting section because it's a nod to the there's two nods. The one where Ellie talks about the crates, and then of course the ladder bit with Abby, which actually I did get stuck on. I didn't see the bottom prompt at all. It just wouldn't show up. I don't know if I just was not seeing it, but I did get like, surely you just put it there. And you did. I think I had to reload and it was fine.
Really quickly, just a really small point that I actually love. The very first infected combat of Abby, again, I thought it was a really nice touch. They just literally went, you've got nothing. You've got like 1.5 guns and I don't know, a piece of wood. Here's every enemy you've encountered so far with limited space. Go for it. This is, and for me, it was really clever because it was like, yeah, we're starting again, but we're not just properly starting again. Like,
no, you know what you're doing now.
Go for a sneak section, take out a clicker. No, this is like, right, okay, three clickers and a bloater's running at your ass and you've got two bullets. What are you going to do? And I thought that was really clever because you're just like, I'm not comfortable. This is actually a new challenge, and I'm halfway through a game, and you're appreciating that. I thought that was a good touch.
I think one of the things that lets that section down a little bit is where you encounter Isaac, and it's very clear that they are trying to paint Abby as the good guy, and they're doing it for a reason because they know you will hate her because of what she's done, and so they are very almost heavy-handedly saying she's a good guy. So the trouble is Isaac's not. And whether or not you listen to him and he's like, no, we must win this war, his methodology of doing so is clearly that he tortures the Seraphites, that he tortures them. And he's got no problems with it, and he comes across as very much, you don't want to do what I say? Dead. You're dead. I'll kill you. I don't care. You're forbade from doing stuff, and Abby sneaks out. And I think the problem then sort of arises in that they're trying to paint her as she's a goody. But she works for them. And knows, it's clear she knows what's been going on. And it's clear that she's been involved in it. You know, they call her like the best shooter they've got, don't they? You know, she's brilliant. She's Abby, the marksman. So that whole stuff, it really felt like they were constantly trying to balance the scales, that we don't want you to think she's too good, but also she's pretty badass. And it's never really... Anyway, so you do escape, so to speak, as Abby, and you encounter... Well, you escape and then you get captured again. And then that's when you see the section that the first bit of the game they ever showed with the trailer is in the sort of jungly area with the Seraphites and the other Seraphites and the hammer to the arm, which again is just a reinforcement of like, fuck.
Mm.
Game's brutal.
The violence there is so insane. But like, I think deep down the most impressive moment there and the most like, whoa, moment is when... it's running at you where it basically cut off when we first ever saw it in the trailer, and how seamless it is just going into the gameplay. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit, I'm in control, I'm fighting, this kind of stuff.
And you haven't got a lot again, you sort of...
Yeah, and it's just like, everything that's going on right now is... I think using that scene as your first showing of that game was once again ballsy, because you're going, who are all these people? Where and like,
well, people thought it was Days Gone. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, I wasn't even sure it was The Last of Us until they find out The Last of Us. You know,
like I said it to a friend, like because when we finished it, we were talking about like this now as well, and I went, remember when we watched the trailer? We both kind of went, bet you that's Ellie's mum, or something. That is what we thought. Like at the time, you know, like oh. Betches were going to play as Ellie's mum back in the day, or you know, she's pregnant or something, and all this crap, like, you know, and it's just mad how it wasn't, clearly, but how it still delivered such a kind of a crazy moment again. It was so well done, all that, the lighting, oh my god.
So then you've got this, the what I would call the big section with Abby, Lev and Yara, where Yara's arm's fucked and the whole story of like basically, I mean, at this point as well, what you got to remember is in this point of time, Abby, it seems her friends are getting picked off slowly one by one, and they are by Ellie, and the planets align again in that Abby has to go to a hospital that she's not supposed to be at because she's kind of AWOL, to get medical equipment to save Yara, and you go to the hospital and obviously combat along the way. There's, you know, we didn't even talk about the boat stuff with Ellie, but you know, we're talking more about the story here. You get to the hospital and...
Can we talk about how you get to the hospital first?
Go on. Yep.
So...
Obviously, oh, the height stuff.
The height stuff. I don't think I have a fear of heights. Like, I certainly used to as a kid. I used to be more scared of them than I am now until I dangled over a cliff edge in a cable car, but that's the story of another time. But blimey, like, again, putting aside the fact that you'd probably put more wood down across this crane than they actually bothered to for game purposes, but the sheer sense of I genuinely felt I was, I don't sound stupid, I genuinely felt that the height that I was on, the wind, the rocking, the tension and the nervousness.
So they do that earlier in the game. They do that when Abby is up high. They do, if you look down at the ground, change.
Oh,
the...
yeah.
Yes.
I think, is it really early with Owen on the cliff and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's foreshadowing as to the moment, but that moment is incredible. And that, in fact, that whole hotel section is brilliant, because I felt like at that point in the game, I was really in command of, again, I'd got back in command of the controls. Like, I really felt like I was in charge. You know, like Chris, you mentioned when you meet the Seraphites as Ellie. That was, for me, that moment where I felt like I was back in on top. I know what I'm doing. I can cope. You know what I mean? I knew I could only have a certain amount of shivs, blah, blah, blah.
I genuinely hate the moments with infected or clickers or anything.
They're my favourite bits of the game.
I don't hate them. I don't mean like I think they're shit. I think I'm just very on edge and anxious playing them, which is a testament to how good it's done. But like descending down from that tower is just fucking horrible. Like there's that like dead claustrophobic scene where
Half-Life Alyx has a bit like that. It really reminded me of Half-Life Alyx as a scene where you're in a hotel and I think you're going up rather than down, and it is so similar. But obviously Half-Life, and you know they have zombies and that, and it's such a similar, and they're both brilliant sections of the games they're in.
It's when you've got the clickers coming out of the walls.
And
fucking grim. But then you pick up that flamethrower and it's like, yeah, come on. Ethan.
That flamethrower is badass. That flamethrower, I kind of wish I had more time with it, actually, if I'm honest with you. Because that's a OP weapon, big time.
Yeah, no, that whole scene, like Chris says, it's phenomenal. And like the, just them two building the relationship, her and Lev, you know, they're opening up to each other. And it's just incredibly well done. You find a lot about, like, Abby as a character, and you find out a lot about Lev. And like, even when you get back to the aquarium later on, and Yara says, "Oh, you seem to have got on really well," and it's just like a nice little touch to bring this character value out of this opinion of being a dick and being the evil one that she clearly isn't.
So, like, again, you get to the hospital, and it's there's this whole subplot of the Seraphites versus the Wolves that's going on, that they're going to attack their island. This is all going on. That's why you're not allowed to leave. But you get in the hospital, your friend helps you out, because, of course, she's not dead yet in this timeline. And I absolutely loved what I'm going to just call the Resident Evil section of this game.
Yeah. Ground Zero.
Absolutely loved it. Fantastic. Going into there, like you say, Ground Zero, phenomenal. Boss fight, I will confess, I died more times there than anywhere else because it's really kind of alien to the rest of the game. But I did love it, and I loved the fact that it felt quite dynamic in that it could break through walls to get to you in certain places that you didn't expect.
And you don't fight any others.
No.
That's another thing that games do, is when it introduces a new villain or enemy, you will face them again.
Again later. Two of them.
It gets harder and harder and harder.
Doom does it. Doom Eternal does that.
But you literally, like, you fight at that time because it's highlighting. Yeah. That's Ground Zero. That's where the virus really took off. And because it's not been touched, the horror down there is just awful. Yeah. And like the bodies you find and the letters you find and the chapel and... Oh, it's fucking horrible. It's terrifying.
I have to admit, though, that like I wasn't so sold in that section.
See, I loved it.
I thought the boss fight, when it was happening, that was when, for me, I was like, now it's like, it's doing something that I have kind of been through a lot in previous games. Yep. And I know, look, you can probably go, yeah, but you've swung on ropes in games. You've shot a gun in other games. I know. But there was something all the ways up to that point that felt just like every action, every choice was just kind of, I was questioning it. But then this moment was like, oh, just run around in circles and hope to God I have enough ammo to beat this thing. I thought it was really impressive. It was blowing through the walls, you said, and stuff. But I was just glad there wasn't another one of those moments, personally. I think the one-off was more than enough for me. I was like, Grant, I'll do fine. Because I think, again, I did say this to you, Ed, like, and I'm with you, Chris, as well, like, the infected side of things, like, I said, don't hate it. I feel I'm definitely on edge, obviously, you know, but I just kind of, once I'm in a room, I'm like, I just want to get out of this.
Yeah.
Especially when 2 has delivered this whole aspect of the humans shouting out each other's names and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's way more kind of like... Like, I feel the infected is just, it's more intense and it's kind of sad at the same time, because you're seeing them turn and you're seeing them kind of like quiver and stuff, and like, oh, sorry, bang.
it's very much for me the flip of the first one. The first game for me was about how you get through this infected ridden, I guess world city, whatever you want to call it, and almost like the human interactions are kind of go to the side for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this game, for me, it's all about the human conflict. And if anything, from when I was playing, the infected areas were kind of like secondary to how I was feeling in the game. It was almost like flipped on its head. I still enjoyed them, but I think it was interesting because I think you asked that question, Adam, about which you prefer. And I think it very much flipped for me. I think I'd just say about on the hospital, I agree with you, Adam. I'm glad they only did it once, but the sound in my ears as I'm exploring that hospital, I think deserves special mention. It does what a lot of clever, I mean, it's not that no game has ever done it before, but a lot of good horror games just kind of put little little things in your ear that shouldn't be there, like a door opening or something. And the door's not open, not that you can see, but you can hear it, or a patter or a clack or a knock. Yeah. And you're like, something's kicking around. Something's going to happen. Mm. And it's not because you've just approached the door where something's behind. It's because it's almost like ambient keeping you on edge. You know, And I love that. I was like, I'm all up for this. Like, if they'd done it three times, it would have been boring. But the fact they did it once, built a crescendo, and Christ, that fucking thing. It was disgustingly huge and grotesque. It's what it needed to be. And I really love that entire section. I felt like that was a good end, because they teed it up a lot. They paced it up and built it as you explored and went back on yourself. So, yeah, I love that.
It's worth mentioning as well, there's this whole plot between with Abby, Owen and Mel going on as well. And the reason I've mentioned that is because it's like, in my head, the timelines are a bit cocked up. Like, at some point, I believe, like, Mel has said, like, you are not fucking coming. Me and Owen are off. You do not part of this, you know. I think that is around then, anyway. But yeah, you get back. I think you get back. Is that when you come back and you find out what's happened with them all? You come back from the hospital?
No, because you go with Yara, and you walk off with Yara, don't you? And then she gets shot.
Yeah, that's right. You do the whole island thing. So you get back and you save Yara, and then you do the island thing. And the island things are difficult to talk about, because I feel like there's an awful lot happens, but also not a lot happens. Like, it's visual spectacular. Like, it is incredible, that scene when you are going through the on fire thing. There's the whole subplot with Lev going back to basically try and get Mum to accept, you know, who they are. And then, you know,
there's a fight with that guy.
The quick time event stuff at the end with the guy with the face.
Oh, wow, yeah. You are just Jesus cutting Christ. His face to shit. Mm. Like, honestly, there was like, is he going to die? So, like, that whole section, you know, like, again, with, is it Jacob? We mentioned Jacob?
Isaac.
I know who Jacob is, but I keep thinking of Jacob. But Isaac, I think you kill him. You know what I mean? He goes down and you're like, is he dead? Is he definitely dead? I think he's dead, but, you know.
Yeah, you assume so. You don't really ever.
But then, no, you don't. That's the thing. And I wonder in the DLC, I wonder.
Oh, maybe.
No. You know what I mean? There's a whole section there that not feels cut because the game is long. Mm-hmm. But you then do go back to the hospital and aquarium, and you do then discover what Ellie has done, or what Ellie's been a part of. And then you go and confront Ellie, and then there's another, what I would say, boss fight, where you are Abby trying to kill Ellie. And I think that of the whole game, this 30-hour opus, I think it's the least successful part of the game. Because even after everything you've been through as Abby, understanding what Ellie's done, you are still being asked as Abby to kill Ellie. And I don't think it's successful, because it becomes such... Whereas the rest of the game feels like a cinematic experience of a game, then, right there, Adam, you said about they only do it once with that boss fight, it gets quite gamey with that horror section, that boss fight, but the section where you fight Ellie is really gamey. Literally, Ellie is going around using... Right, she uses this tool that you first played with, then she uses... It is going through her repertoire, and it felt super gamey for me. And also, I was not invested in that fight because I didn't want to kill Ellie.
Well, see, that's the thing that I feel it's another, like, what they do that no game has kind of done. And I don't think this kind of situation is... Like, when you chase her down through the theatre, like, did all of you, like, have the gun out, and before she went through the curtain, did you shoot? Like, because I did. And I, in my head, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And what's going on? No, I shot her, but I'm confused as to why this is happening. Running down and having that moment. Yes, it is kind of very... It's a very strange feeling when you're trying to stealth around and not get caught by Ellie. And she started laying bombs and stuff. And it is really weird. But, like, I think it's just, like, I can't say, like, any game has ever done that to me.
No,
like,
I just don't. Know that that I just don't think it's quite successful at what it's trying to do there. I don't think they've, I think in their head they've done enough to make you, I'm going to kill Ellie, bastard, you know. I don't think they do quite enough. I think what they do is they get you, they almost achieve parity where you're like, I don't want either of these people to die. Mm-hmm. And they don't. And in the review, I mentioned how there was, and I actually spoke to someone at Sony about this as well, so it's not like, you know, I didn't, I think one of them needed... I think the truth of the story required one of them to die there. You are still technically controlling Abby. Abby has Ellie in a position where Ellie has lost. Abby has won, and Abby lets her go. And the idea for me feels like, I'm not as bad as you. You've done all of this. You've put all your friends at risk. You've killed all of my friends. But I'm going to let you go, and I never want to see you again. And it just felt a bit like... It felt cliched to be like, I never want to see you in this town again, kid. It just... It felt like the truth in that moment. Everything they'd done, everything... All the hatred, all the anger, all the violence. No, nobody's a bad guy. But that moment, to me, felt like where the game... Not necessarily should have ended. They obviously have to have something after that. But I know from speaking to Adam, you don't feel that way. And I don't think Chris White does. I'm interested to see what Chris White feels, because I just felt like... I hate to use the term cop-out, because that's not really what I mean. But the point where she is going to kill Ellie, she has seen everyone killed at the hands of this girl. Directly or not, her dad was killed because of this girl. This girl then, because of Abby getting her revenge, decided to kill everyone in Abby's life. We didn't even talk about the Tommy section on the sniper. Another one of Abby's friends killed. Ellie is directly and indirectly responsible for killing everyone in Abby's life. And Abby just goes, fuck it. I don't want to ever see you again. Go away.
But she doesn't. And I think that... So I have lots of... Not issues, but it's probably where me and Adam Carroll will fall out the most is when we talk about how this game ends and the decisions that it makes to end. Because I think we'll come up against this conversation again. For me, just a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but that scenario where you've got Abby, Ellie, Lev and Dina all coming in, it was like... It just reminds me, like, kick-ass. This is... Avengers Civil War kicking off. I care about all four of these characters and all having their 5 seconds in the sun. I love that. I was like, yeah, now she's kicking him, now she's kicking her, now Lev's coming. Right, great. I put that to sort of, because I thought that was like a bit of fan service. But for me, it did make sense because if you think about Abby's initial motivation for killing Joel is, you know, the breakdown of the Flyflies and the revenge for the death of her father. She never wants to kill Ellie. She lets Ellie go initially anyway.
But she even says that. She says, we let you go.
Yes. Yes. And I think this comes back to the relationship she has with Lev, because it is Lev that stops her. She was going to kill Dina, the pregnant girl, and go, fuck you, you killed Mel. Eye for an eye.
Eye for an eye. Yeah.
And the only reason she doesn't, in my mind, is because of Lev. And I think that just reinforces the relationship that she's built with him. And that we've seen that she's not actually just like this emotionless cow bag that will kill anything. She literally cares for people that she... believes in, and she believes in Lev, and she wants to look after him because he's lost everything, literally everything. We've seen through this story him lose everything that he holds dear, and she's all he's got. And so I think that for me, that wasn't the moment where I felt cop out for me. And I agree with you.
No, it wasn't the only moment, but that was the first big one for me, where I was like, that really feel to me, it felt like they didn't know how to end the game.
And we'll get to this,
I still stand by the 10 out of 10, by the way. I still think it's one of the best games I've ever played. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It means it inspires the debate.
And I'm glad we've kind of... Obviously, we're always going to leave this part to the end. But, you know, we'll probably disagree with Adam on this. But I still think it's 10 out of 10. I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, it is.
But I have issues with the decisions it took right at the end, and we'll get to it. But I think this game is phenomenal, and it deserves everything, all the praise it gets.
But again, that doesn't mean it's perfect.
No.
And like, I mean, do we want to just jump into the ending, or Adam, Chris, White?
I'm open to it because, I think really, okay, let me get my thoughts here now on this section.
You did want to talk about the sniper section, and we can briefly...
The sniper section with Tommy, I just think it's very quick. I think it's just done so incredibly well. I think sound, visuals, going under the car, the tension, like jumping out and getting shot straight away. I think it's literally the sniper section of one times 100. Like, you know, with the stranger in one and in that little, like... backyard place. Like, it's just that. And I think there's that one particular moment where you get to the area, the sniper is running. I actually didn't think it was Tommy. I didn't guess it being Tommy. But, like, he runs off, and you're, like, scaling the kind of room, wondering where he is. Then you go to the door, and he appears and grabs you. You're just like, what the hell? This is so unreal. But I just loved that entire section. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. But going back to what is probably that is the next most important point where it'll divide opinions, obviously, is the... Why don't you just do it? Why did Nelly just do it? Why did Navi just do it? What's going on? Come on, just one of you kill each other. You know you want to do it. This is where it's at. I think, so right after that moment in the theatre, that's where we get to, is that where it goes to the farm then?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
I will also mention that you nearly, my biggest problem with the whole game, you nearly just touched upon it. Like, Abby, I'm just going to say this now just so I can sort of loop back to it later. Abby doesn't kill Ellie, and I was thinking, okay, well, you're gonna have to do something special, okay? So, because then we're at the farm, Ellie's happy, she's the kid's been born, yep. So we've jumped forward. I mean, I guess
suffering five, with like months, all you know? These like
she's having serious PTSD, yeah. Which is totally understandable,
yeah.
But to all intents and purposes, she's living the life they wanted,
trying and, to cope and everything, yeah. Then Tommy shows up, and this is a part where I don't think many people have actually said, oh yeah, fair enough. At this point of the game, I think both Abby and Ellie are trying to just go their separate ways. They want to go their separate ways, they want to do their own thing, and like...
Well, Ellie's beaten. Ellie lost.
They're both
Ellie,
beaten.
Ellie didn't get what she wanted, very clearly, because of what comes after this. Ellie lost.
Mm-hmm. They've lost.
She, you know...
But there's... Yeah. It's kind of showing the humanity within the both of these characters, because at this point I think we're both kind of like, if every player would be who likes the game would be like, I like Abby now as well, like, you know, and it's kind of like, I don't want either of them to die, and you know both their stories. And
I didn't want either of them to die. I just felt narratively one of them should at that
but
point.
I think this is the thing. If I'm going to put my... Like, I know like you can be clutching at straws in this kind of thing, really, but I feel both of them have just lost everything and they both want to just fucking go right out of here. Hence why Ellie's on the farm, she's doing her thing, whatever. And who is the person that causes it all to start up again? Tommy.
But also, with regard to Tommy, where's he been the last... I'm trying to work...
Right. So Tommy's obviously trying to still find them and stuff. Like, I know, but you could go into that kind of level of detail, and this is the part of where we have to realise these are video games. If you're going to start picking
maybe
at it,
yeah,
that deep, it's a bit like, oh, come on, look what everything the game has done so far up to this point.
No, but it's just, it is suggested he's turned up out of the blue, and I'm trying to work out the timelines, because they find out Dina's pregnant, she's got morning sickness, and the suggestion is she's not really showing, so it's fairly early in the pregnancy. I mean, if it were any later,
well,
then...
Well, he's gone back to Jackson, obviously. He's,
yeah, but I'm saying like 6 months have passed between the
least,
end of... At least. I would say possibly 7 months have passed, and they just haven't...
Well, obviously...
Ellie and Tommy just haven't seen each other?
I don't know. Like, Tommy was trying to, like... I don't know. Maybe it's just like, he knows...
I'm sorry, Adam, you wrote the game, please.
No, but like, maybe he just knows where Ellie's at, what she's doing. Maybe. They've just kind of like...
He got shot in the head as well.
Yeah.
I thought it was the leg.
He got shot in the leg, went to his knees, and then they shot him like here. So that's why we all thought he died.
Yeah, I mean, was
everyone else shocked that he was alive? Because I really,
yeah, I was.
Really rocked,
yeah.
Up.
Because we all, I assumed he was dead. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
so
point.
Like, he's recovering from that.
But surely, like, that would mean that Ellie would be more in contact with him.
No, because
it depends what they said to each other. Because they're both at the end of their.
I know I'm picking it.
They're both at the end of their journey, like as far as. We think, like, Ellie's lost, yeah. He's close to death, maybe he realizes what, you know, well, he doesn't realize because he wants Ellie to go after him, but maybe Ellie realizes, you know, I need to just break from everything.
What he does is a dick
away.
Move. What he does
it's,
is a
it
fucking
is, it is
he's
the
a
biggest dick.
Dick
move, because
he can't that, let her be happy.
But at that point he arrives to the house saying that, like, himself and his wife are just taking time apart, so basically they're not working out anymore, right? So he's lost his wife now, pretty much, and he comes back into
He's lost it all again.
And he knows, like, oh, like she, he can, you can clearly see that Ellie's doing okay now. She's trying
got
to
have a baby and he baby sows the seed.
And he puts an overwhelming amount of guilt onto her. And then you have Ellie having this, like, serious mind fuck where she's like, I'm dealing with this every day. I see Joel's dead face every day. No, Tommy, you've turned up. You've done this. You've said this. How can I refuse? Blah, 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 so on. It's the exact same with Abby wanting just to escape with Levin, get away from, like, all of her life, her back. So she's lost
but
her
how
bed.
Do you feel about the decision that Ellie makes, which is to go after Abby again?
I wasn't too sold on it. Like, I was like, no, let's not do this, because at that point I felt like, am I going to hate her this now? Like, I don't hate her, but am I actually going
to
hate
her? They could have ended the game there with her deciding not to do it, and that is the kind of, because it's still got the kind of maudlin kind of morose ending, and it could still be that with her being like, no, I've lost enough, and them using their imitable sort of storytelling ways to show that she is deeply unhappy despite the fact she should be happy, but that also she can't do this because she is now Joel. She is now Joel looking after a baby, a kid.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, for me, I mean, we're going to jump around a bit, I think, now talking about Act 3 and this act. For me...
Well, this is like the DLC. The epilogue, which is like 5.5 hours long, to me feels like...
That shocked me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, like, when I, at this point, no one's played the game, apart from reviewers, and I'm like... And I'm not going to sit here and go like, oh, fucking hell, is this still going? It wasn't that, because I loved the game. But I was like, wait a minute, this is almost like they've made... two games and thrown the expansion on the end as well. This is a Hail Mary. This is like, we have thrown everything at this game. I was quite surprised by how long that last section is.
I'm of the opinion, right, I'll just lay my cards on the table, I'm of the opinion that there's three ways this game could end and it chose neither of them, any of them. For me,
it's three ways and neither of them.
Sorry, I do words for a living. You've lost my train of thought now, you bastard.
Three ways of ending, and it didn't pick any of them.
Yeah, three ways it could end. For me, ends at, you know, the farm.
Yep.
And there's either and there's so many ways you can go with that, you know.
Yeah.
Referencing, you know, you can either say it's a troubled struggle, but like you said, or there's ways you could have done it with her burning the guitar and things like that, which we'll come on to with the end scene and stuff like that, to disconnect from Joel's symbolism and all that sort of stuff. Or you have the epilogue, act three, whatever you want to call it, and someone dies. One of those two has to die. Because
that is, yep.
Because, and we're going to jump around. I'm sorry, I do not buy this whole... This whole last moment change of mind.
Nope, not at all.
And it's done for dramatic effect, but it doesn't work because that moment of reflection is based on a flashback that we all haven't seen. So we're supposed to... We don't know that exists, but it's been in Ellie's mind. That encounter has been in Ellie's mind for this entire time. And I don't buy the fact that when she's literally at the point where she can accomplish everything she's been going on for the however long the game's setting is, months, that she'd suddenly just go, oh, no, yeah,
I've had my finger chopped off as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? Nah. I don't know if any of you guys... Have you guys seen Game of Thrones? I'm not going to do much of this, right? But this happens in Game of Thrones. And, God, if it happens in the books when they come out, I'm going to scream. Basically, in Game of Thrones, there's a few parallels, right? Arya Stark in Game of Thrones gets dealt a pretty tough hand in the first couple of series, and in the end has a kill list, right? And she has a kill list that basically people get knocked off this kill list for throughout the series, and by the end of the series there's one person left, the agreed absolute bitch queen of the entire series. Everyone else wants dead, she's the last one on the list. She goes and travels with this companion halfway across the country to go and march and kill her, and then they get to literally the bottom of the stairs and she's up the stairs and he turns to her and goes, this might be a bit dangerous, you best go home. And she's like, yeah, okay, and goes home. And it's literally, for me, it felt very similar to that. Like, literally, you build something up for so long and then just go, nah, I'm not going to, for some other arbitrary plot device that I want to use. And I really didn't like that at all. It kind of tarnished the very ending for me, because same, I feel like it should have been that either Abby succeeded and defended Lev and that she stopped it by Ellie dying, or Ellie finally achieved what she needed to do and got some sort of twisted satisfaction from ending and getting some closure. Or for me, like I said, the third one is closure at the farm without having that other act is the three endings for me.
Yeah, look, I can't really disagree with that opinion on it, right? I understand. I just think, like, it all boils down to, like, it comes around full circle, really. At the end of the day, when everyone thought this game was just going to be about Ellie, it actually really does end about Ellie. Like, in such a way, possibly the most depressing way I've ever seen in a video yeah. game. But when she is basically choking Abby...
Which, by the way, one of the hardest... You do not... want to do that.
You don't really want to
do it. It is making you do that. You do not want to be pressing that button. You don't want to choke her.
You're like, here we are. This is it. This is the moment. You can see that, like, there and then, Abby is completely battered. Tortured. Oh,
she's already beaten. Like, she is there's suggestion to me that she's been assaulted in more ways than one. Like, the way I don't think that they ever spell that out, but I think the gang that she's been taken by, there's a strong suggestion that there's some dark shit happened to
absolutely happen. So she's all this, but she's completely weak. She just, like,
she's been emancipated, hasn't she? She's gaunt, she's lost muscle mass, she's
hair is gone, all that stuff. And, like, she basically says, just like she's just going, look, leave me alone, just
I'm not gonna fight you, just
let
off.
Me escape. And then
she can't believe she's there. She's like, you can see it in her face, like, what the fuck.
So Ellie starts battling her demons and just then goes, no, I've come this way. And you are like, oh, Jesus, no, don't do it. Because we all like Abby, you know what I do anyway. And I'm like, don't let this happen. And she does it at the weakest point of Abby's physical state. And decides not to, because I think myself, Ellie has gone, what fucking good is this going to do? I don't care. Like, I think there is that moment of, I just don't care.
But she's,
like,
thrown it all away again.
I've just, like, here we are. Because I think right there, she is exhausted. Because, as you said, the journey she has to take right up to that point as well is just, whoa, this is crazy. And when you get to the point of her sitting there with Joel gone, her partner gone, fingers gone, she can't even play the last remaining thing on the guitar, the song that she has of Joel. She then walks out. She has lost everything.
It or is has she?
100% has.
Are it you is... sure? Because there is a scene. I did not spot this at the time. It took someone else pointing this out. So earlier on in the game, Dina gives Abby a bracelet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Abby takes the bracelet off when she goes to do what she's going to do and find Abby. The very final scenes of the game, when she goes back to the house, it's back on her arm. Which they, I don't know, which is a suggestion that she's not quite lost everything, but that she's just gone back to the house as one last, oh, there's that, there the guitar was left. I mean, there are arguments to this, like, why is it all cleared out? But also, when she enters the house, why is she not going, Dina, anyone here? Why is she not surprised that the house is empty? Why is she not surprised that no one's there? Unless she already knows the house is emptied and she's back at Jackson with Dina. She's got the bracelet back on. And that, to me, is... It's too subtle, but is a far better ending for the player to know that, yes, look, she lost everything, but did she? Because can't answer that. I think there's a lot of... Nothing is accidental in this game. None of the storytelling is a mistake. The fact she walks in the house and doesn't call out for anyone, the fact she's not surprised it's empty, and the fact she's wearing that bracelet again.
Maybe so, but, like, for me, I think what it boils down to is, even at the closing credits of that game, all Ellie cared about was Joel. Yep. End of. Yep. Like, it's her number one priority, hands down. And I think, like, when she couldn't play that guitar and that song, I was just like, oh my God, this is...
I think, and I agree with you, Adam Carroll, that she did the right thing. The fact that in that moment, you can't visually see any of the thoughts going through her head, but it becomes quite clear that she realizes Joel was the only thing keeping her from going over that edge. And he was her guiding light, not just through the first game, but up until his death. And she looks at Abby, she sees what's happened to her. She realizes that she doesn't want to become the people that she hates. She doesn't want to become the Rattlers. She doesn't want to become a murderer. She was never like that to that extent. She never went into the darkness as she does in this game. I think it's quite clear that when she gets there and she's there and she's about to kill Abby and she doesn't, that's why she has that realization. She's fighting with herself throughout that whole section.
The whole time, like on the farm, and she is.
When Dina says she doesn't want her to go and she goes, I think she walks back in and she's just not surprised. She knows that that's going to cost
her. Why is she wearing the bracelet again?
Because that's her only memory of Dina.
But it was left at the house that she left behind to go and do this. And then what you're saying is she come back to an empty house, but the bracelet was still there. Also, I just think
Dina knows that, like, she'll always love Ellie, but like, she did say, if you go, I'm gone. If you're going to
She's got a kid now.
I think she doesn't
want that in her life.
I think what's happened personally is that she's gone back to Jackson, and Ellie has gone back to Jackson before going back to the farm. I think that is the order of events that has happened with the bracelet.
And I think it's too subtle, but I think that's what's happened.
For me, just my personal opinion on what you just said, Chris, about Ellie's struggle and the decision that she takes, I think that does make sense. But I feel like the way in which it feels too convenient in the sense to just show a split second flashback of that image of Joel, and as though that's the defining moment. And if there had been more build up to that, even if we don't see the flashback till afterwards, because I think that's a nice touch of kind of, you know, rounding that out, that scene. I think that's a really good scene afterwards. But the fact that there's no build-up to that in terms of, you know, she's battling with should she do this or should she not throughout that epilogue. It's literally that final moment. Does she really change her entire motivation? Because even up until that last moment, she's like, those fuckers better not have killed you because I want to kill you. She's still saying that out loud right up until that moment. So she still wants to kill her. And it feels like, for the purpose of effect, they've just decided on a knife edge she's changed. And I think I'd have bought more into it as a character if we'd seen her struggle with that more than what they showed.
Even if by taking her finger off, it left Ellie just like in the water, and they escaped. I'm with Chris. The whole thing is that she's going to kill her and then just goes,
because of, look,
there's Lev as well.
Yeah,
like,
she's
mother essentially. Like, she was a daughter to Joel. Lev is a daughter to Abby. There's that as well. Like, Lev was there when Abby nearly killed Ellie. It's happening again. There's no reason. Like, up until that point, yeah, she'd said, oh, I'm going to kill her when I find her. But kids change things. She's just realizing that what is happening, and she's seeing the bigger picture in that whole fight scene.
But I can't buy that because Ellie has just essentially walked out on her kid to be there. I can't.
It's not Ellie's kid. It's not her kid.
The father of the child's dead, and they were in a relationship anyway. So like, it is the way she's treating it, the way she's being with that. I don't think they name it. I can't remember if they named
JJ.
The
child. I want to say JJ, but I don't know if that's right.
Thing is, like, I don't think we're ever going to actually agree on this, and it doesn't actually alter the fact it's a 10 out of 10 game for me. And what I would like to say at this point is that we would love your theories, people watching or listening to this. If you are watching it on YouTube, give us your theories. I've actually seen some, once the hate died down for this game from the people who hadn't even played it, I saw some like really lengthy, interesting comments. That there was still some stuff in there where you're like, well, there's a bit of bias, but like, there was still some really good stuff, and that's why we make this content. I know that I speak for all of us, and it's, you know, 10 out of 10 game, one of the best games you've played in a long time. And this won't be the end, by the way. This is the end of this spoiler cast. Is not the end of our discussions on The Last of Us, because if you don't know, we do a Game of the Year deliberations podcast where we do much of them. I don't know if they'll be on video. They might be. We'll agree or disagree on that when it comes to it, but there will be more moments. We do like a best moment award, a best story award, and I'm sure The Last of Us Part 2 is going to come up in those. But I think we're at the end of this spoiler cast, chaps. Unless anyone has anything else, I didn't mean to come to an abrupt end, but I think we've said everything.
Yeah. I think it is a phenomenal game, and totally. It's a game that can bring these kind of conversations up. Like, we're disagreeing, but
absolutely,
that's the magic of this game.
It's the first spoiler cast we've done in a long while, I would say.
I don't think it does anything badly. I think it's just a preference of story and what you believe is right, what is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the amazing thing.
That's what the first game did.
Yeah, and you believe in those characters to such a degree that you feel like the narrative or the decision was wrong, and that is, again, impressive.
Just to say, like we've said quite a few times, we're almost holding this story to a higher account from any game before it.
100%.
And that's probably the biggest kind of plaudit you can give that game.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a testament to the writing.
We wouldn't even be arguing over what is essentially minutiae. There you go. If you are, like, you found us somehow, this spoiler cast, randomly, and you do enjoy our chat, we do a podcast every Wednesday. You can get it earlier if you're a Patreon, patreon.com/godisageek. We do all sorts of stuff on there, including some code giveaways and drops and stuff like that. The four of us here are normally on the podcast. There are other people as well. Go and look on the channel and do subscribe. We really appreciate that. And if you're just listening and somehow found it via Google or something and you're a first-time listener, give us a subscribe on the old iTunes or whatever. Chris and Adam... thank you for being here. This has been the Adam Show, and we really appreciate you being with us. And again, seriously, if you're watching on YouTube, get your comments down there. Tell us what you thought of the story. This is a spoiler cast. No one's clicking this and worried about spoilers. It's all spoilers all the time. Thank you very, very much for listening or watching, whatever you choose to do. We'll be with you every Wednesday, not spoiling games, but talking about them. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later. Bye-bye for now. Thank you.